Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. Yeah, I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the things we'll be discussing today, it is hallelujah, the first day of spring, this March 20th, 2013. It's Wednesday, and many parts of the country would be surprised to think it is the first day of spring, but if you're having warm weather today, well, good for you, because we're not here in central Pennsylvania. But we're going to be talking about, can you guess who's saying we should end the Fed? The answer to that might surprise you. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about Cyprus and how important it is and how we can relate it to what is happening here in the U.S. and what we might predict for our future. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Discount Gold and Silver Trading does support this program. And we're going to go to the market reports today and see what everybody was up to today. You have gold. Let's take a peek at gold here. Gold down $7. No big deal. 1607. You have silver down 13 pennies, 28.88. A lot of eights there. It's always a good sign. Platinum down, up 24 at 15.85. And palladium up 23 at $763. USDX today trading down slightly, 0.21 at 82.80. Crude oil was up again a little bit, 0.80 at 93.24, up 80 for crude oil. And the markets today sort of were all over the page. Let me bring up the page here. The Fed came out today and, you know, surprise! The Fed says stimulus is going to continue. And with that, they were able to muster about 56 points out of the Dow, 14,511, NASDAQ up 25 at 3254, S&P up 10 at 1558. The 10-year yield still hanging steady at 1.94, and the euro ticked up to 129, almost 129 and a half. So it seems like everybody is sighing a sigh of relief with everything that's going on. Stock markets are back up over in Asia and over in Europe, and Cyprus was just a little blip on the calendar anymore. And personally, I believe there's deeper things involved, and but we'll be talking about some of those items here in just a little bit. And if you'd like to call in at any time and ask us a question on what we're discussing at that time, you can do so at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too at questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com. Drum roll for Al. Hi, Al.
Hi, Melody. If they can send us, you've given them instructions on how to send us an email. Do you have any instructions? What if they want to send us an emu? Do you have space in the backyard where you can keep an emu, Melody?
I certainly do.
Give your dog something to chase in the spare time.
Yeah, well, she's done with her chasing days. Although she did chase a cat not too long ago, just uh-huh. about a week ago. So, now I guess you can, even when you're 100, you can still get spry every now and then.
Yeah, I suppose it comes around once every 6 months or something like that.
Yep, my little doggie, for the listeners to know, she'll actually have a 15-year-old birthday in July. So she's almost 15. And for a larger dog, that's pretty good age, and she gets around pretty good. So,
well, tell the dog I said happy birthday.
I certainly will.
Okay. What else are we going to do here today, Melody?
Well, we're going to be talking about, I didn't know if you wanted to get to your questions first, or you wanted to go into...
We can go to the questions. Why don't we do that just to start up
we
on
should.
This? Here's a question for Al. According to the NBC, this is from Yvonne, the U.S. is deploying 14 new ground-based missile interceptors in Alaska to counter renewed nuclear threats from North Korea and Iran. This according to Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel last Friday. The new interceptors will be based at Fort Greely, an Army launch site about 100 miles southeast of Fairbanks, Alaska, and are projected to be fully deployed by 2017, Hagel said. The additions will bring the U.S.-based ground interceptor deployment from 30 to 44, including four that are based in California. Are we getting closer to a conflict? And that's Yvonne's question. I guess we're always getting closer to a conflict. You know, I mean, as it is inevitable that sooner or later, whether it's in 10 months or, you know, 50 years, we're going to see some sort of a significant conflict. Technically, I think we're always getting closer to a conflict. Government certainly wants to present that idea. But if they're only worried about having these missiles fully deployed by 2017, it doesn't appear that the government thinks there is an increased danger of conflict, you know, right now, in the next 6 months, in the next year. They're going to spend 4 years deploying an extra 14 missile interceptors. Doesn't seem like they're too worried about it. It seems to me like this may have more to do with General Dynamics or whoever builds these missile interceptors. They just found a convenient excuse. North Korea is threatening to nuke the United States of America, which is, you know, just crazy talk. They got to have to know that if they do, South Korea will be reduced to the status of an island and North Korea will disappear. It'll sink into the ocean. I mean, it's just crazy talk, and you can't get too excited about that. We have other problems that are probably more real, more pressing. Perhaps we see evidence of that coming out of Cyprus. We see evidence of it in the size of the national debt. And while we're peering over the horizon wondering if North Korea is going to be dumb enough to launch a nuclear missile, maybe there's other things that we could watch. We should watch a little more intently. Another one here from the bullion tycoon. Let's see. He says Bernanke is borrowing $85 billion per month, not printing it. No doubt bankers did the same thing on Cyprus, and they don't want to pay it back. So the missing deposits will become a tax withdrawal from the accounts, a clever way to cover up what was already done. Now, this listener is expressing his opinion that his suspicion that what's happened or potentially happened in Cyprus is not an attempt to grab. I'm not absolutely certain what happened there, but I think we've just been. Melody, are we still on the air?
I think so.
Okay, something just went boing on my computer, and it sounded like we were disconnected. In any case, we've got what the listener is suggesting is that the turmoil we see in Cyprus right now is not a reflection of taking money now to spend in the future or repay the bailout or whatever, so much as to excuse and cover up money that's already been taken and made to disappear. Right? He's suggesting, he doesn't say this clearly, but he seems to be suggesting that maybe the Bank of Cyprus has already been robbed. Much the same as some people suspect that Fort Knox has been robbed and the gold may be gone. So if that were true, they're going to need some sort of a very serious emergency to conceal. The day is coming when somebody's going to open the door to Fort Knox. They're going to look inside and say, golly, I don't see any gold in here. And at that point, somebody's got some splaining to do. In order to prevent that from happening, it may be they need to create an emergency. It may be similarly in Cyprus that in order to prevent people from realizing that a theft has already taken place, maybe they need to take money from the people, from depositors, and they'll just say, we're taking it. And it's to support the economy and it's support to bail out and so on. Maybe it's already gone. I think that's what he's implying. And perhaps he says, I went to my bank this morning and told them it was a tax withdrawal I wanted. They called it a holdup. Wonder why Bernanke can call it a tax and get away with it. But when I do so, it's bank robbery. Yeah, that's another point. They changed the words. They've called this a bail-in. In Cyprus, they've called it a bail-in rather than a bail-out. They have called it a tax. Other people have denied it's a tax. It's some sort of they used another term that involved stability. I can't remember the term. It's one of the things government does is they change the language or they use words that people don't understand in order to conceal what's really being done. Derivatives are a pretty good example. Not many people understand what derivatives are. I guarantee I don't. Certainly just a little bit, but all I understand is they are a debt instrument, another device to create the illusion of wealth where there is no wealth. But government routinely uses new words and they come up with definitions. You look in any title of the United States Code, there'll be a number of sections where they define terms. And the way they define the United States, for example, in one section of code is different from the way they define the United States in another section of the code. You have to pay close attention because they're redefining words all the time. And what the listener is talking about, he went to a bank. He said he wanted to make a tax withdrawal, and they called it a holdup. What is it? I had a friend. He had to store a couple of junk cars, trucks parked on his property. Government came after him. The local community, local government came after him. This is 10 years ago. They came after him and said they wanted the junk cars off his lawn. All right, and he said, those aren't junk cars, those are lawn art. Government went away. All right? They could remove junk vehicles, they can't remove lawn art. It's just an illustration of, that's a true story. That's a true story, I know, because one of the trucks was mine. I don't know, it's lawn art. These definitions and words are so powerful, so important, and very few people realize. It's like Bill Clinton said years ago, it all depends on what the meaning of is. Everybody thinks that's a little bit of a joke. No, it is profound insight. If you can control the definitions of the words you're using, you can control the legal system if you can control the definition. So, in any case...
And you know what's interesting now is, and you're right, most people don't pay attention. Most people think, well, what's it matter to me? You know, because they don't feel they're being... they're not involved. It's them. It's the government. It's as long as I have my little world here, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And yet they fail to realize that they are a very big part of that picture. They are a very big part of losing their wealth. And it is them that they will, that those that they don't understand will come after.
Yeah, they come after everybody. It's only those
don't get it. Yeah, until it's too late.
Who understand the language?
Until it's too late.
I talked about this. I've touched on it a time or two on the program. I've been sued by the Attorney General of the state of Texas for $25,000 per day. That's $9 million per year. I was on the hook in theory for $20 million. In theory, they wouldn't have actually imposed, but that's what they threatened. All right, defeated them, stopped them with what? An astute use of language. The first three defendants in the case hired one of the best law firms in Texas, and the law firm just took the money and drove the husband, wife, and their corporation into bankruptcy and then divorced, and they left Texas. Another man bought some of their equipment. The government went after him, his corporation, and his trust. I volunteered to be fiduciary for the trust so I could speak in court. The government made me a defendant in the matter, threatened me ultimately with fines of $20 million. I read the relevant law, and I understood the meaning of the words. And that's all. And I understood it from a spiritual foundation. And when I explained to them your definitions of the word drugs, and that's what this involved, it was colloidal silver that the issue was all over. Your definition of drugs presumes the people to be animals. You and me and Melody and all your friends and family, the government has been operating on this presumption under the drug war, pharmaceutical business, American medicine. It extends back to 1906 in the Pure Food and Drug Act. The government treats us and regards us in law as animals, and it's there if you can read it, if you can understand the words. And the point here is that if you're going to be robbed, you won't be robbed by people with guns and clubs. You'll be robbed by people with dictionaries. Right? And if you don't have dictionaries, I tell people, if you don't have as many dictionaries as you do firearms, you are vulnerable. You must begin to master the language. Our traps, our snares, the things that we're fighting against, it's all done with words. If you can master words, you can keep these people off your back. If you can't master words, you are in a great deal of trouble. So, I don't know what...
We got a question in, Al. It says, why does Cyprus not use the same tactic as Iceland did in order to stabilize their economy? Well, they don't want to. They have a different agenda. What say you, Al?
Well, I think Iceland is showing the way. And I think for the problems we're facing globally, Iceland has made a great contribution, even though it's a little place. They showed us a lesson, and they taught us, look, what we see in Cyprus is ultimately taking place. It's justified by the need to protect the banks. We have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's what it's supposed to be. But what we're being told, we have government of the people, by the government, and for the banks. I don't think the banks are that critical. We could afford to lose the banks. They're deep in debt. Fine. To heck with them. They've been mismanaged. Let them go. All right, we'll have a couple of bad years just like Iceland did, and we'll be back on the road to prosperity, perhaps in as little as 2 or 3 years. We're going to be back on the road to financial survival in about 2 or 3 minutes. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements and be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk, and I have lived to see it. Frank and I are exchanging, during the commercial, Frank, the producer, and I are exchanging a couple of instant messages over Skype. And I sent something, and Frank wrote back. He says, as much as I'd like to have a clever comeback, I got nothing. And I have now lived to see the day. And Frank admits that he didn't have a clever comeback for something I'd said on the instant messages. So my day is made, Melody.
Well, I'm glad.
Uh-huh. Now, are you going to make the day for everyone else with perhaps a special?
Yes, we're going to have a Cypress special.
A Cypress special.
A Cypress special.
Okay.
And, of course, we're going to have a bullion special. We're going to have 1/10 ounce. They're $5 modern issue gold coins. 1/10 of an ounce gold eagles. You will receive 5 of those. And we're going to stay with 90% silver, quarters and dimes, $40 face value. And the total package is $1,850. So it's a great little package. We usually don't do the modern issue 1/10 of an ounce coins, but so that's why I thought I would do them, something a little bit different other than the $5 Liberties. And if you do want to switch out your 1/10 ounce gold Eagles to AU $5 Liberties, we can do that for you. Just make sure when you're making your order that or a mixture, we can always adjust the specials for you. 1/10 ounce gold Eagles, those are modern issue coins, 1/10 ounce, 5 of them. Almost, it would be a 1/2 ounce of gold and 90% silver, $40 face value for $1,850. And that includes all your shipping costs, all your insurance costs. That's everything out the door. Just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That is 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, Melody, sounds like a great Cyprus special. Celebrate whatever's going on in Cyprus. Does anyone know what's going on in Cyprus? Melody?
What?
Does anyone know what's happening in Cyprus?
Well, there's a lot of things happening. I think there's different agendas that are working. Yeah, I do. And I do believe it's bigger than what anybody will ever figure out or whatever will be released. I believe you have all these deals that go on in back rooms and, you know, between governments. And, you know, we can only speculate what's going on. But I think it's got a lot to do with Russia. I think it's got a lot to do with the natural gas. I mean, when you're talking about the amount of money that Cyprus is in debt for, it's not that much. I mean, Russia, when you compare it to the amount of money that they have, what they were going to lose is really a pittance. So, you know, I can't imagine that they'd be... but they got their legs in. They you know, they're able to get involved, more involved in the Eurozone. And I think it's changes that we're going to see in the coming future. I think you're going to see governments that are, you know, weaseling their way in. And I think you'll see the same thing here in the States. I mean, we already seen Russia buying up huge properties here in the U.S. You see China buying up. I don't think they're buying up the big mansions and the million-dollar castles and so forth as Russia has been doing, but they certainly have a special relationship with Russia, and I think all these relationships with these governments shouldn't be ignored.
And, I think they have a special relationship with fiat currencies, and
they
are realizing they've got a stack of them, and they'd better get rid of them one way or another, because the day is coming when they're going to turn out to be largely worthless. And so they're saying, where can I spend these darn dollars? Somebody says, well, why don't you go buy a mansion and back in Miami? People say, mansion in Miami? Well, you know, I mean, at least it's something. I mean, it'll still be there when the dollar dies. The mansion will still be there. They are just responding in an intelligent way. They've got a bunch of dollars. They don't think they're sure they're not going to appreciate in value. They are probably going to depreciate significantly. They may turn out to be worthless, so they're trying to get rid of them. It's like playing old maid. Got to get rid of that damn queen of spades. Leave it in somebody else's hands so you can win.
But we were talking, and actually you're going to be doing an article in this week's American Survival about Cyprus. And, of course, it's going to involve who really owns your money. We talked about earlier about missing deposits and why we talked prior to the program. You go to the bank if you have a significant amount. You can't pull it out. They don't. You have to give them how many days' notice. They want to give you a cashier's check. They don't want to give you cash.
Yep.
They don't want to give you your money. So we already have it here to some degree. It's just people don't understand yet.
And what they don't understand is who owns the green pieces of paper. Who actually owns the green pieces of paper in your wallet? Who owns the deposits that you've made in the bank? And the truth is, it ain't you. You don't own what you regard as your money. And this is a very strange concept. A lot of people say, what are you talking about? They don't even understand the need to own your money. When you had, prior to 1933, when we had gold and silver coins in circulation, you owned a coin. When you had it in your hand, it was presumed you had both legal and equitable title to that coin. But since 1971, and we've gone on a pure fiat currency, that currency is loaned into circulation. If I pull a pen out of my pocket and lend it to Melody, and Melody uses that pen, she may come to think of it as her own pen over time. She may even lend it to someone in the audience. They may lend it to somebody else. But who owns the pen at all times? I do. I own the pen to start with. I can lend it to Melody, and Melody might lend it to somebody else, but it might be passed around 100 times. And all of a sudden, I can walk up to the door of the 100th guy who's got the pen, and I can say, I want the pen back. And the guy's going to say, well, you're crazy. That's my pen. I'm going to say, no, it's not. It's mine. This is a complex and hard to believe hypothesis. But what we see in Cyprus tends to support this hypothesis. No one has suggested that it was illegal to take that money. It may be they're not going to do it, but they're not going to do it for political purposes. They're not going to do it because the political implications are too great. But the point is, it's legal to take, for government to take people's money out of their accounts in Cyprus. And I'll guarantee you it's ultimately legal for government to do the same here. And the reason is because you don't own the money in your account. This is a kind of insight. We'll write about it and try to express it more clearly in American Survival. It'll be come out. I'll submit the article on Saturday, and it'll come out on Monday. You'll see it on Monday.
I got a question here from Phil. He says, are there any benefits to owning one-ounce silver rounds as opposed to silver coins issued by a country's mint?
I can't see any advantage to it. One of the reasons you want that coin that's got the government stamp on it is because people have a higher level of confidence that it really is 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver. You take a silver round, people look at it, and they don't know, am I looking at silver or am I looking at aluminum? What do we got here? They have a higher level of confidence in the silver coin. Scott says, you know, United States of America on it and so on. It means it will be more liquid. It will be more easily. Show that to somebody, say, yeah, I'll take that. Show them the round, maybe yes, maybe no.
I think when you're dealing on a one-to-one basis with people, yes, you know, people will accept a government-issued coin a little bit better over a silver round. But when it comes to investments and when it comes to a future-type return, no, you both are going to be equally, it's for the silver content, and they will be both equally easy to liquidate if you're selling them back into the market. So just be a little cautious when you buy your rounds. Make sure they are marked 999, and you know, make sure you don't get some of these obscure companies. And you know, just like anything else, quality and value. Make sure you know eBay. Yeah, be very careful when you're buying things from eBay. Like I said many times, I wouldn't buy a penny off of eBay. Most folks don't know what they're doing, and they're going to get caught in a situation where they're buying something that they shouldn't or something that's overpriced. And very few people truly have the experience to know what they're buying when it comes to gold and silver. They get caught up in the price. They get caught up in the auction, and they get caught up with the pretty picture on the front. So, you know, eliminate all those and, you know, just buy from a dealer like myself. But investment purposes, between a silver round, usually you're going to pay more for those coins minted by the country, by a legal tender coin. You'll pay more for that type. But in the end, you'll be able to get more silver by silver rounds. And when you go to sell them back, you'll pretty much, you pay more for this, like the Silver Eagle, you'll pay more. You get a little more when you sell them back. Silver rounds, you pay a little less, you get a few more ounces, and you'll get the same. So your buying price is always, I should say your bid price, your selling price, you know, is always in relationship to your buy price. 90% silver, when I was able to sell that at spot, I couldn't buy it at spot. So, you know, the bid price on it was back of spot. So it all varies according to the coin and the bid and ask. And that's why when people ask me, well, what's the bid and ask price? It doesn't really matter what the bid price is. They think it's a way of finding out how much commission is being charged. If you want to know how much commission is being charged, ask. you know, ask what the wholesale price is. The wholesale price is not necessarily the bid price. But do you think when you're asking the number of dealers out there in the country that they're going to give you a true bid price? Like these dealers out there who say, well, if you buy the coins from us, we're not going to charge you anything when you go to sell it back. Excuse me, if I was charging 50 or 60% commission on a coin, maybe I could make that statement and keep it true. But if you think a company is charging those amounts of commissions, do you really think they're going to buy it back from you and not charge you anything? Highly unlikely. These companies don't do anything for nothing. So, you know, it's an easy pitch. It sounds good. Oh, I'm not going to get charged a commission if I buy my coins from them. Okay, I'll pay a little bit more, but I know I'm not going to get charged when I go to sell them back. Ridiculous.
Well, you know, it's just life. That's what it comes down to. If I have a used car for sale, I guarantee you I might want to sell it for $2,500 and you might only be willing to pay $1,500, and we wind up negotiating. It's a question of what inspires confidence. So how much do you trust people?
How much can you afford?
There's a certain amount of, you know, just natural flexibility that's built into these sales.
When you're dealing on a one-to-one, but when you're dealing, when you're selling it into the market, it's totally different. Here's a question. And so are gold and silver eagles considered loaned into existence and thereby open to confiscation when purchased with dollars?
It's an interesting argument, and it's something I've considered, and I don't have an absolute answer for you. The Constitution says at Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, that no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. It would seem, therefore, they didn't say gold and silver coin that carried the logo of the United States or whatever, a picture of the American flag or what. They said gold and silver coin. The gold eagles, silver eagles that are currently manufactured are gold and silver coin. If you understood these issues clearly, there's a good chance that you could hang on to your gold and silver eagles. Maybe yes, maybe no. But from my perspective, there is virtually no question that you can hang on to any of the gold or silver coins. Silver coins made before 68, they call them junk silver right now. I don't think they can be seized under any pretext other than we have guns and clubs and you don't. Same thing with pre-1933 gold. I don't think there's a legal foundation for seizing pre-1933 gold coins. There might be one. It might exist for modern gold eagles, maybe. And that's not a clear answer, perhaps. And I don't have an absolute answer, but the question is valid. And I've thought about it myself, and I don't have an absolute answer. It's the sort of thing that probably have to be tested in court to find out.
We have another question from Richard. He says, Eric Holder says he can't prosecute banks. They are too big to fail. This guy is horse manure. He just gave banks the go-ahead to commit fraud at taxpayers' expense, and they are safe. Bernanke mentioned today that bank deposits here could be taxed if we have a Cyprus event, and of course, gold is down. He is surprised that this will not cause bank runs everywhere. People, they are going after your money. Be aware.
Well, it's like Willie Sutton in the 1930s or the 20s during the Great Depression. They asked when they caught him, they said, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. The day is going to come, and to some extent we're even seeing evidence of this in Cyprus, where the banks were being effectively robbed by the government. It wasn't the banks that were taking people's money, it was the government that was taking money that was already deposited by people in the banks. And they said, we're the government, we get to tax you. They say it's a tax, it's not a robbery, it's a tax. You know, what was it, 7% or 6.75% for 100,000 or less, and over 100,000, 10%. But this is a tax, see? That makes it legal. The truth of the matter is, it's no more legal and, or at least ethical, than when Willie Sutton was holding up banks. He could have said, No, I'm not. He could have said, I'm not robbing these banks. I'm just imposing a tax. Well, it would never fly in our American courts, but regardless, some people can rob under the guise of taxes and some people can't. But the day is quite possibly coming when governments that are desperately in debt will look around and say, where can we get some money? And the fastest place you'll be able to find that money, the most where the money is concentrated and it's most easily robbed, will be banks. And my point is, we may see a day. Right now, banks and the government kind of operate hand in glove. But it doesn't mean they always will. There could be a fallout among thieves. And if that happens, the government will rob the banks. What are the banks going to do? They don't have an army. They don't have a police force worth mentioning. All right? If the government says, send in the cops, send in the army, get the money out of the banks, it's a possibility. It's one of the reasons you should consider owning gold and getting clear from the banks. We should also consider taking a break for some more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival. Excuse me, with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. As we've been talking today, touching on the Cyprus confusion. One lesson, all right? If they can pull billions of dollars, rob billions of dollars, if government of Cyprus can take billions of dollars from depositors in Cyprus banks, there is no reason of which I'm aware that they can't do the same thing in this country. If you're storing your wealth in a bank, you need to consider, is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? Is it a risky idea? And make your own call. Decide, do I dare? Do I not? Where shall we go? If you decide to move away from paper debt instruments, get into something tangible, give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. Discount gold and silver for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I believe we have a caller, Mr. Rob West. Are you there,
well, Rob?
Hey, Melody, Al, how are you?
Just fine. How you doing?
Great.
What you got
for us? Here with, just checking in. It's been a while since we've called in. Sherry Peterson, my partner, and I are here working in the office. I said, we need to give them a call. So, yeah, this stuff with Cyprus has been pretty alarming, and it might just be a test run of how things might go in the future for different countries. But anyway, just seeing how you guys are doing.
Well, we're doing all right. We at least think we're doing all right. You might know better than we do. What do we think and what do you think? That would be a question.
I agree with you, Rob. I think this was also a test run to some degree.
Well, the test has failed, and it was a foolish test. I mean, it's hard to say how to it's hard to see how this can be justified, because there will be fallout, mm-hmm. even if in the end they've reportedly, the Cyprus legislature said, no, we're not going to do it. So now it's not even, perhaps it's not even going to happen. But it will still have impact because they at least thought they could do it. And if they think they can do it, who says, which banking system says, oh, no, that could never happen here. And here's the law. Bunk. It can happen in Cyprus. It can happen in Alabama. All right? It can happen in Illinois. It can happen in the United States. That's the way the banking system is structured, in my opinion. What do you think, Rob? Rob?
Yeah. It's, you know, if we were all looking around to see where all the population would be supporting things and information, you know, the upper crust, if you will, or the elite or whatever you want to say, there's really not that many of them. And it's just amazing what they think from time to time they can pull off. And
you got to give them credit, because most of the time they can pull it off. They're sitting back and saying, the vast majority, they're sitting back and saying, yeah, we're vastly outnumbered, but these people are stupid. We can do just about anything we want, and they'll go along with it.
Well, it is, you know, we're a sleeping bear, and it's been a long time to get poked and wakened up, but, you know, we need to keep shows like you all are doing much more in the ears of the public, and just help keep in the poke the bear, because I really believe there's way too many really good people out there to not let this happen. They're just asleep on the idea of it. So, but you know, that's why I think I continue to tell people, you know, purchasing power. Come on, guys. You know, 20 years ago, Ross Perot was worried about a $4 trillion debt. Now we're what, approaching 17? I mean, what direction do you think this is going?
17 and, that they admit to. 17 that they admit to, and the Congressional Budget Office said, including unfunded liabilities, it's in excess of $200 trillion.
That means
the debt is technically 10 times greater, and more than that really, but 10 times ballpark figure greater than the Obama administration and the Congress admit. They say, oh, we're $16 trillion in the hole. The heck we are. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I used to follow a lot more in the past, other information about the derivative promises and so forth, and when you add those figures in, I mean, you know, there's not enough money and currency on different universes to cover everything that's out there. It's just, you know, you need to have that gold and silver. You need to have common sense. You need to have some food storage. You need to have some, you know. I mean, I used to do retirement planning for years, and the only thing I was doing was helping people set what I thought was money aside to spend it later to live on. Well, we need to think through that now and rethink those. You know, I was a CFP for 25 years, and we just need to rethink
whether it is or is not money. That's the question.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
is money? This is such a strange question for most people. Well, I know what money is. I got money in my wallet. I got money in my credit cards. I got money in my bank account. And I'm telling you, no, you don't. You think you have money, but people who understand it, and they are few and far between, they understand you don't have anything but a debt instrument. You have only an IOU, a promise to pay. You don't have a payment.
Well,
you don't have money. That's true for most people once they've got gold or silver.
And particularly if you're trusting the banking systems as they are now. I remember our good friend Bob Chapman, he and I used to talk frequently, I took his guidance, and I don't keep a lot of money, just hop on something, because you ask Cyprus, they might shut it off, you know. I mean, you know, it sounds scary, but it's
sounds just about impossible. It sounds impossible. It sounds foolish and ridiculous, because we haven't seen anything like that here in the United States in your and my lifetime. We haven't seen anything really like that. You might have to go back to the 1930s with the gold confiscation. We haven't seen it. You go over into Europe. They are familiar with, because they live in smaller countries, they are more concerned and aware of what's happening in other countries around them. They understand that these things are possible. They've seen evidence of it in their lifetime, and it's not like in our country. You know, you've never seen it. Like talking to people about a unicorn, you know, well, I've never seen one. They see them over there, and they see them from time to time in Europe, so they're aware. We're not. Anything else?
No, just wanted to call in and say hello, and I'm way too overdue to get some serious conversation and visit with Melody, and I'm just thinking about you guys, and I'm glad to hear, you know, you guys are Johnny on the spot with the current events, as always, so. Appreciate talking to you guys. Thanks, Melody.
All right, Rob.
Thanks Rob.
Call.
It's good hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's next, Melody?
According to the AFP, French police searched the Paris apartment of IMF chief Christine Lagarde on Wednesday as part of an investigation into her awarding of a 2008 arbitration payment to a businessman supporter of ex-president Nicolas Sarkozy. And that is what her attorney said. Lagarde, who at the time was Sarkozy's finance minister, has repeatedly denied wrongdoing in ending a judicial battle against billionaire Bernard Tapie. And instead of opting for arbitration, is there an honest financier in the world?
Well, I'm sure there are honest financiers in the world, but is there an honest super rich financier in the world? Probably not. All right. There may be some small time financiers that are very ethical and honest, but the bigger they come, the more corrupt they almost certainly are. At a minimum, as you get into upper echelons, it may be that there are people up there who are not corrupt, but they don't object to dealing with people who are. Up at the top, we have a group of thieves, a group of crooks, and this is perhaps one of our advantages. When things get tight, the thieves will fall out. And to some extent, that's what we're seeing in the instance of police going into Christine Lagarde's apartment, investigating her. When everything's running right, they wouldn't dare. She's connected. But now things are falling apart. And they're saying, all right, we're going to... It's the same thing you would have seen between one mafia group and another mafia family in New York or New Jersey or Chicago or whatever. They have war within among themselves. They are predators by nature. They are criminals by nature, and they don't just rob the ordinary Americans. They're not averse to robbing each other if the money's right and the opportunity presents itself. So when times are difficult, who can say? We may wind up seeing the elite attacking the elite before this is all over as a means of robbing. I got to have more money. Now, why do you rob the banks, Willie Sutton? Because that's where the money is. Why do you rob the elite, Mr. Elitist? Because that's where the money is.
Well, I find it a little coincidental that you have this situation with Cyprus, and she gets hit, you know, a few days after that announcement. And usually, I don't know if they're falling out, but what did she do or didn't do? And most of the time when they go after these types of folks in these high positions, I mean, just like we saw the guy in here in New York that was accused of rape, they threw him in jail and he sat there. And you know, they all have their reasons. They usually go against, and you're right, they go against the ones that are above them. So makes you wonder what she did. And I'm sure it'll come out. There'll be questions. And let me look at Berlusconi. I mean, they're all there. They get even. They pull out the skeletons of their closets, because they all have something to hide.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's possible to achieve significant power anywhere in the world right now without being amoral at minimum. All right? You're willing to sit down and do business with a bunch of crooks, gangsters, murderers. And if that disturbs you, then stay out of government, big-time government. I'm not talking about the local city council, although even there you'll find corruption. But big-time like Obama? Here's a guy who sends drones to different parts of the world to assassinate people without a trial. He's not averse to murder. Huh? And he can sit back and say, well, it's for national security, this, that, and the other. It's murder. And there are a bunch of other people, and frequently when the bomb goes off, the drone strikes one individual and kills them, kills that target. There is collateral damage where people who are close by are also injured or even killed. Mr. Obama has no problem with that. And we're not talking about war. We're talking about individual targeting of a particular person that translates into assassination. And frequently, what evidence do we have that this guy's done anything or done anything significant? Just somebody says, kill this guy. And then and the machinery is there. Okay, we'll kill him. It's murder. You can't be comfortable with being personally responsible for killing individual people. I don't see how you can do that in a comfortable manner and still be regarded as ethical, honorable, you know, responsible, respectable. Any of the words that we might, you know, attach a certain amount of, you know, honor to. I don't think that applies. And it's evidence what we see with Obama, we see with whoever runs Cyprus and whoever runs France and the European Union and England. Bunch of crooks, that's what's going on. And what else have we got? A little over a minute, Melody?
Well, we didn't get a chance to get to Australia, seizing bank accounts.
You know, they're talking about it. It's in a minor sense, but so is New Zealand. New Zealand is threatening to emulate the Cyprus example. Australia, to a lesser degree, it's not big news. In fact, it's kind of exaggerated and hyped, but it's evidence that this Cyprus situation, the big danger is not Cyprus, the big danger is contagion. How many other people or governments will emulate what happened in Cyprus? How many other bank depositors are going to say, let me out of here, and pull their money out of the banks in France and Italy and Spain, for example, or even in the United States? It's the contagion. And we have to wonder. We've got, the government has vaccines for the swine flu and the bird flu. Do you think they have a vaccine for the Cyprus flu, Melody?
But you know what's amazing, though, is how, to me, it's also a type of conditioning. You hear these stories enough. You get used to it happening in other countries when it does come to this country. How many people in this country just, number one, believe it can never happen here? And number two, believe that, well, those with more money than $100,000, they should pay a tax anyway and help pay down that debt. You know, it's their obligation. I mean, the thinking what goes on across the nation and around the world with some of the thinking and logic, it's
not very thoughtful.
No.
And we're going to have to let it go with that because we're out of time, folks. Want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, they're never never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's you.